All right, and as you're finding your place, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Serious, somebody stole my glasses and I'm not happy. I probably put them down somewhere and just don't remember where that was. I learned that from Brother Humphrey. He was always putting his gloves down hunting and never knew where they were. Somebody else had to find them for him. So, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 9 through 16 here tonight. In fact, let's go back to verse 6. Let's start there. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This whole passage here we're not going to get through tonight, this whole passage deals with the spiritual revelation of God, God revealing himself. And this section that we've read here continues to deal with the problem of disunity in the church. You remember, back in chapter 1, in verse 10, Paul said that there are divisions among you, and that there's strife among you. And he said it wasn't good. And then he goes on to talk about how some of the church were looking to human leaders, and some saying, I'm after this person and after that person. This party spirit had developed among the saints of God in Corinth. And there was disunity there. And another problem, the reason for this disunity, was the fact that they were relying on human wisdom. Remember the culture in Corinth, all about philosophy and so on. And all of that had worked its way into the church, and it was causing division. Paul is still dealing with this problem of disunity in the church, particularly the continued allegiance to human philosophies and to human leaders, which was contributing to that division. So that's the context in which Paul is writing. And he's dealing specifically with this issue of human wisdom versus God's wisdom. And human thinking and human reasoning and human philosophy and all of that leading to disunity. And what they should have been doing is had unity in the person of Jesus Christ. Appreciated what Brother Caleb prayed tonight. This is the common bond that you and I have. The Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is not the focus of our life, if he's not the focus of the ministry of this church, there's going to be faction, there's going to be disunity. And if there's disunity, there can't be the power of God. And the Spirit of God is grieved. And so Paul is rebuking the church here and dealing with this issue of human philosophy, human wisdom versus God's wisdom. And this human wisdom was keeping these believers from divine wisdom and from real spiritual growth that comes with the knowledge of God. And they should have been unified in Christ. They should have been unified in this divine wisdom. And Paul later on says in chapter 3, you're carnal, you're spiritual babes because of this very thing. And I can't speak to you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, because you're babes in Christ. And so Paul states in chapter 2 here, in verse 1, that when he came to Corinth, he didn't come to these people like the philosophers of the day would have, speaking with human wisdom. Look at verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, but declaring unto you the testimony of God." Verse 4, he says, "I didn't come to you with enticing words of this world's wisdom, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration." That word demonstration means proof. Proof of the Spirit and of power. Why did he not come that way with human philosophy and so on? Verse 5, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The only thing that would really last. He said they didn't want their faith to be continuing on in the wisdom of men. This is the reason why there were factions. Following after this preacher, following after that preacher. And so he says, "I didn't come with the wisdom of the world." But we get to verse 6, and he says, "Howbeit." All right, so you see that he's talking about this wisdom. "I didn't come with the wisdom of this world. Howbeit," he says in verse 6, "we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So he says, look, I didn't come to you speaking human wisdom. Howbeit, I am speaking wisdom. It's just not human wisdom. It's God's wisdom. It's just not the wisdom of this world. It's the wisdom of God. And it's not a wisdom that any natural man can understand, he says. This wisdom that we speak is only understood by a certain kind of person and in a certain way. You notice that where he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." He says in verse 6 that it's not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. He says we are speaking wisdom, but it's not the wisdom of the world, and it's not a wisdom that the natural man can understand. This wisdom can only be understood by a certain kind and in a certain way. And to all others, this wisdom that we speak, it's either a stumbling block, which is to the Jews, or foolishness to the Greeks. Look at chapter 1 and verse 23. He says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." And so he states here that this wisdom that he preaches, only a certain kind of person can understand it. Verse 6 tells us, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." And there's only a certain way to understand this. And to everybody else, it's either a stumbling block or foolishness. And so in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16, Paul emphasizes two points here that I'm going to bring out tonight and the next time we meet together in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, number one, true wisdom is not humanly discoverable in his own resources. But then number two, true wisdom must be divinely revealed. These are the two thoughts that we're going to consider. Tonight we're just going to consider that true wisdom is not humanly discoverable in our own resources. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give clarity of thought and mind tonight, both to the speaker and to those that would hear. And Father, that we pay attention to your word. And Father, that it would be rich to our souls. And Father, we would seek to apply. Because the truth of the matter is that God's wisdom, which comes from your word, the natural man cannot understand. He can't even know it because it's spiritually discerned. And your truth and your wisdom needs to be divinely revealed to our heart, to our soul, to our spirit, through the Holy Spirit of God. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight your Spirit would minister to your people, or that you teach us. Father, we'd apply God's truth that we might experience the blessing of God and the wisdom of God in our day-to-day living, that we might bring glory to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So consider tonight with me that true wisdom, which is God's wisdom, is not humanly discoverable by our own resources. Look at verses 6 through 9 again. He says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." True wisdom, which is God's, is not humanly discoverable by our own resources. And the idea or the thought here, which you'll agree with, is that it's impossible for a lesser creature to fully understand a greater. How can anything fully understand something that is more complex or advanced than itself? This is part of the reason why evolution is so silly and so mindless. If we're evolving into something bigger, better, more complex than ourselves, that goes totally against science. It goes totally against nature. How can anything fully understand something more complex and advanced than itself? For example, we know that a dog does not fully understand a human and the human mind and human reasoning and human thought. Dogs are dogs, and dogs can be dumb. Humans can be dumb too. Okay. However, we know that a dog does not fully understand or comprehend human thought or reason or human mind. Just to give you an example, I mean, a dog would have to be at least as advanced as a human, which in some cases maybe that's true, I don't know. But a dog would have to be at least as advanced as a human in order to fully understand him. As an example of how dumb dogs are, we just picked up one of our dogs from the jail again. Well, no, it's the first time for this one. But here's how the story went. My wife went to go pick him up, and she's got to pay the fee to get him back. And the person said that our dog was picked up with another dog who is also fully intact and who was in heat, right? So he was stupid. Well, the dog catcher couldn't catch Bear because he doesn't let people near him. But he caught the other dog and put the dog in the truck and started to drive away. And so Bear, his girlfriend, is now being taken to the pound, and he starts chasing after the truck, who's the dog catcher. And they said he was running like 35 miles an hour, chasing after this truck. The dog catcher decides, hey, I'm going to get this dog. And he sticks his, you know, pole out the window with the loop on it, and Bear runs right up to it, and he catches it, slows down, and takes him to the pound. It's like a criminal chasing after the cops, you know, because his girlfriend's being taken to jail. Not really smart. You know, not real intelligent. And all I'm saying is, and this is just an illustration of how can one fully understand something's more complex and advanced than itself. A dog doesn't understand a human. But here's the reason why I make the illustration. How much more of a difference and how much greater of a difference between Creator God and created man? How can created man fully understand Creator God? Men can imagine what God is like, but if with our own reasoning and our own mental faculties and resources, we cannot discover who God is fully. Many have all kinds of ideas. Many have all kinds of opinions as to what God is like. I mean, you hear all kinds of, well, I think God is like this, and I think God is like, you ever heard those kinds of things? And usually they create God in their imagination to be a God of, like Santa Claus. You know? He knows if you're naughty or nice. You know, he knows if you're bad or good. You get on his naughty list, you know, kind of a thing. Or he's just this jolly old, you know, fat, white-bearded, you know, being in the heavens that you know, is just hoping that mankind will love him. Man has all kinds of imaginations or ideas of who God is. But you know what? Man's reasoning and man's thinking, it's all speculation. It's all opinion. And man's opinion and his speculation is completely irrelevant when it comes to the God and the things of God. But man thinks himself to be so smart. And when ideas come from a man's own imagination or his thinking, these are his resources. And it's not possible for him to understand and to know God. We read in these verses, Paul said here, I speak wisdom. I'm just not speaking the wisdom of this world. He says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. It means those who are saved, those who are children of God, those who have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. We speak wisdom to them because to those people, what we're saying is the truth of God. And they understand it. And he says, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. This wisdom didn't come from men, the princes of this world, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. True wisdom is not humanly discoverable by man's own resources. Verse 7 here tells us, look at it, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This verse tells us that God's wisdom or God's truth about Him and His message for mankind, it's not of this age. Before the world began, God said, God put it into place. Before human wisdom was ever even around. And He says, we speak it in a mystery. This word, mystery, it's the Greek word mysterion, and it means something held in secret. So he's talking about the truth of God, the revelation of God Himself and the truth of God, His message to mankind. He says we speak it in a mystery. It's something that is held in secret. Now, the way we use the word mystery, we would think of it as something strange or something like a puzzle. That's not what this word means. It doesn't refer to something like that is strange or puzzling, but it refers to something that is held on purpose in secret. In other words, God intentionally withholds His wisdom from the natural man who operates in his own wisdom. Look over in Matthew chapter 11 with me here. We're talking about how God's wisdom is not discoverable, humanly speaking, with man's own resources. It's a mystery. It's something that is withheld from the natural man who operates in his own wisdom. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now we see here that Jesus says, he's praying to God the Father, and he said he's hid these things from the wise and from the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes because it seemed good in God's sight. What is the context? What things has God revealed, hid? Well, if you skip back to verse 19, the Son of Man, which is Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. What is the context here in which Jesus is saying that he hid these things? It was the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. It was the revelation of himself as the Savior, as the Messiah. He did many mighty works proving he was God, and they still rejected him. They said, oh, he's a wine bibber. Oh, he's a friend of publicans and sinners, and so on. Because of their own reasoning and their own prideful heart, they rejected Jesus Christ and did not see the truth for who he was. This is the mystery. The withholding. God intentionally withholding his wisdom from the natural mind, the natural man who operates in his own wisdom. Look at chapter 13 here. Matthew 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, it's half this knowledge of the mysteries, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Here we find Jesus saying the reason he spoke to these people in parables is because seeing with their eyes, they still didn't see and understand. Hearing with their ears, they didn't hear. They didn't really hear because their heart was waxed gross. And back in our text, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, we find that God's wisdom and his truth about himself and his message for man, it's not of this world, it's not of this age. It was around before the world began, and it's a mystery to the natural man. God withholds from the natural man who operates in his own wisdom. But look at verse 8 of chapter 2. So speaking of this wisdom that's God's, he says, which none of the princes of this world knew. They didn't know God's wisdom. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This verse tells us that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is proof that the natural man does not fully understand God's wisdom. In the Gentiles' ignorance of God, they ended up crucifying the Son of God. They despised him. They hated him, rather than seeing him as their Savior, the Lord of glory. But you know what? In the world's eyes, Jesus is anything but glorious. We know this to be true. I mean, there's all kinds of examples I could give. But let's use a current one, for example. How stupid is this, these NFL players and these NBA players and so on, when they, you know, take a knee during the national anthem and so on? How stupid, how ridiculous is this? And the media and all these other types, they laud them, they applaud them. They say, oh, you know, they're just expressing themselves, they're just expressing what they believe. And the president, you know, he's demonized for They're just expressing their free speech. But the president is demonized because he's expressing his free speech. And he's calling them out for being ridiculous. But see, these guys who don't really know what they're doing and have no idea about the history of things, they're trying to make this statement. And the statement becomes themselves, not the real issues that they think are there. But see, the media and all others, they laud these guys. They applaud these guys for taking a knee, for expressing their beliefs. But on the other hand, you take a guy like Tim Tebow, who's a Christian, who kneels down in prayer to God, to give glory to God. And what do? Oh, they demonize him. Oh, he's a freak. He's a weirdo. He's simply expressing his belief. What a bunch of hypocrites. What's the difference? Well, in the world's eyes, Jesus Christ is anything but glorious. He's hated. God's wisdom and God's truth is hated. And yet God thinks him to be the Lord of glory. Amen? Paul's own testimony bears this ignorance out. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look who Paul was before he was converted to Jesus Christ. Look what Paul says about himself. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul said, had these people of the world, the princes, the rulers of this world, had they known the wisdom of God, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. And the crucifixion is proof that the natural man, he cannot understand God's wisdom. Paul didn't understand God's wisdom before he was converted to Christ. Listen, this is the natural man cannot understand the things of God. It's the very reason why a person can regularly sit through preaching service after preaching service, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to continue to reject God. Because in his natural mind, he doesn't see his own condition. He doesn't see God's love for him. It's the very reason why a person can regularly not be blessed and instructed by the very words of God. You know, somebody can sit through sermons and know that all the sermons are dull and boring. And the Word of God is not rich to them. And if they read their Bible, you know, in and of themselves, they don't get any kind of guidance from it. The Word of God doesn't bring peace to their soul. The Word of God doesn't feed them with spiritual food. The Word of God is not rich to them. It's the reason why. Because of the natural man cannot receive the wisdom of God. How does the Word of God not bring richness into the life for a true child of God? How does the Word of God not minister peace to a broken or sorrowful heart? And I'm telling you, the times of sorrow in my life, or the times of hurting, the times of needing direction from the Lord with decisions in life, where do we go? We've got to go to the wisdom of God. Where do we get it? From the Word of God, ministered by the Spirit of God. And so if a person sits through preaching service after, and it's dull and boring and it's not rich to them, or if they read their Bible at any point in time and they're not fed by it, it doesn't minister peace to the soul. Listen, something is missing in the life. Maybe it's because the natural man does not receive the wisdom of God. Look at verse 9. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1, or chapter 2, sorry, verse 9. Paul writes here and he says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And here this verse teaches us that discovering God's special preparations are only for those who really love him. He says that it's written in the scriptures that eye hasn't seen or ear heard, hasn't even entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. Now, this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. He says, "As it is written." Go over there to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64 and verse 4. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." And so Paul is quoting from Isaiah here, and he says, from the beginning of the world, the natural man, the natural eye, the natural ear, it doesn't perceive or know the things of God, the things that God has prepared for those who wait for him. Now this verse 9 of chapter 2, it's a verse that is often misapplied. Oftentimes we understand things from tradition, you know, like we quote a verse or we think a verse means something because that's how we heard it maybe when we were growing up, or that's kind of just what we've always thought it meant by tradition. And this is one of those verses, you know, that I've quoted numerous times, that I've heard quoted many, many times, and the application always referring to heaven. Right? That eye haven't seen, or ear hasn't heard, hasn't even entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared, future tense, for those that love him. Meaning that someday in heaven, you know, we're going to be amazed at the things that God has prepared and so on. That's not what this verse actually means. And honestly, folks, I didn't know that until I studied out the scriptures in its context. And then all of a sudden, whoa, imagine that. And this truth became ever more clear and blessed my soul in the context of what it's written in. Now, to think that our eyes and our ears and our heart hasn't even imagined what God has prepared in heaven, hey, maybe that's true. It's probably okay to think that way. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's actually referring not to the wonders of heaven at all, but he's actually referring to the very wisdom of God that God has prepared for his saints, for his believers, that the natural man cannot understand and cannot not receive. And this is an amazing truth. Now, this verse I've heard at many funerals, maybe quoted to comfort the family and so on. But Paul's not talking about the wonders of heaven. He's talking about the wisdom that God has prepared for the believers. And his point is this, which you actually see played out in verses 10 through 14. His point is that the natural eyes of man and the natural ears of man and the natural hearts of men cannot even know or comprehend God's wisdom. It is prepared only for those who love him, and it's only given in a particular way. Look at verses 10 through 14. He says, in verse 10, "But God hath revealed them." Revealed what? The things that haven't even entered into the heart of man, the natural man. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we may know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You see this truth here? Paul says in our natural mind, we can't get the wisdom of God. It's only given to those who love him, and it's only given a certain way through the Spirit of God, and we can't even comprehend all the wisdom that is available to us from God. Not in our natural mind. He says that, you know, whether it's externally or whether it's internally, man, with his own resources, cannot discover God. You know, there's a great quest for truth in our world. You know, you go to any liberal university, any university out there, and it's all inclusive, and what's true for you is true for you, what's true for me is true for me. We have to be all inclusive and so on. What is truth is the question. You follow what I'm saying? You hear that all the time. There's this quest for truth in our world. But you know what? It was true even in Jesus' day. Look in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. In verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Here was an opportunity for a man standing before the very Son of God, who is truth himself. An opportunity for him. And he couldn't even see. And he said, What is truth? But Jesus said, Everybody's of the truth. They hear my voice. The natural man didn't receive it. Couldn't see it. And Paul writes back here in our text in verse 9, he says, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. You know, man's external searching to find real truth, represented here by the eye and the ear. Man's external search for God, it'll never discover God. God's truth is not observable by the eye or the ear, the natural ear. It's not found in experience and so on, because God's truth is spiritual. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, what, can you enter a second time into your mother's womb and be born? And he had a hard time understanding that. And Jesus later on in that passage says, the things that I speak unto you are spiritual. The things that I speak unto you are spirit and their life. But he didn't understand it in his natural mind. Man's external search through religion, through experience, it's never going to discover God. Paul says the eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard. The natural eye, the natural ear hasn't seen. And then he says, nor entered into the heart of man. You know what? Man can't find truth in himself. Rationalism cannot reason God and his truth. Man's rationalism cannot reason God and his truth. Man's two greatest resources, his observation and his reason, both of those things are equally useless in discovering real divine truth. In fact, when men lean on their own understanding, they'll eventually turn men away from divine truth and ultimately lead them to rejecting Jesus Christ. The natural reasoning, when men trust in men's wisdom, it actually leads them away from divine truth. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm about done here for tonight. We'll continue on with this message, this thought, because we're talking about how man, in his natural, with his natural resources, cannot discover God. Not in of himself. in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Now look at this. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." In the last days, this is a description of what mankind will be, and they will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It hasn't entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared, the wisdom of God that He has prepared for those who love Him. And in fact, man trusting in his own reasoning will actually lead him away from divine truth. True wisdom is not humanly discoverable of our own resources. Go back to our text, because here's the good part. And we'll not consider all of this here tonight, but here's the good part. In verse 10, the things that the natural man hasn't heard, hasn't seen, hasn't even entered into his heart, that he cannot receive, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, verse 10, "But God hath revealed those things, them unto us, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." God's truth, God's plan, God's wisdom that guides, that leads into the pleasant pastures and spiritual blessings for eternity. Listen, that's not hidden from God's children, from those who love Him. In fact, the things that the natural eye can't see, that the natural ear cannot hear, that the natural heart can't comprehend, those things are revealed and those things are known to the child of God. How? Well, you got to come back to find out how. Because there's some very specific things in these next few verses that reveal to us how God's wisdom is given to God's people. We're going to see how true wisdom is divinely revealed in some very specific ways. Let me ask you the question here. Do you want God's wisdom for decisions in life? I mean, let's make the application here. There's some of you who've got some big decisions coming up, some major things on the horizon. Do you want God's wisdom for decisions in life? Do you want God's wisdom for how to handle relationships? Do you want God's wisdom for direction? What do I do in this situation? How do I respond? Where do I go? What's the answer? Do you want God's wisdom? The natural man can't receive it, and there's a whole store of it that God has prepared that the Spirit of God can give and the Spirit of God can reveal. But it's only for those that really love Him. And it's revealed in some very specific and special ways in these verses. And we'll talk about that next time we're together in 1 Corinthians. I want God's wisdom. We need to make the applications then from the Scriptures of how we can receive God's wisdom and not lean on our own understanding. Amen? And if we don't experience a love for the things of God and a measure of the guidance of God and the direction of God and the wisdom of God, that means that something is not right. If we don't understand the things of God given freely given to us by the Lord, Maybe it's because you're still a natural man. Your eyes can't see, and you can't understand. You can't, and it doesn't even enter into your heart. Because verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. That's only reserved for those who really love the Lord. You want God's wisdom in your life? Then we better go to the source. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd encourage and strengthen our hearts. Lord, that we have at our disposal, we have access to the very wisdom of God that cannot be received in our own reasoning and our own understanding. It needs to be revealed by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. And Father, that illumination, that divine help and understanding is the key to having the wisdom of God, for finding direction in life, for decisions, for relationships, for guidance. Lord, I pray that we would be people who seek after the Lord, who seek after the wisdom of God, and Father, thereby being able to do the will of God, and in turn be able to bring glory to God. We love you tonight. Thank you for your word. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.